Paul, what was that? Did you say you wanted to go first because of track?
I love running.
It's Stone?
I'm lying.
Oh.
It's kind of a running joke. Track three vehicles.
We're on? Okay. Well, we've approved the minutes. There. So we said it. So, Paul, why don't we turn some time over to you then, and then we'll just skip down to item number three on the language arts, the new core.
Great.
And let you get off the track and make my son run an extra mile.
Okay. I'll let him know that.
All right.
Now, Scott, were you going to go through the slides?
I'll just jump to the language arts.
Okay.
Go back.
Yeah, you can find that section
right there.
Yes, that's where we start. Now, before I address this slide, I just wanted to mention, and this is my opinion after looking at the core and the opinion of my department. We've talked about this a little bit. The changes to the language arts core are nothing really to get overly excited or overly agitated about. It's really pretty similar to what we've had before. Most of the changes come in the form of terminology changes or changes in the way that the skills are actually grouped on the written document. So there are a couple things, but we don't think it's going to impact us negatively or anything like that. This slide right here, obviously talking about the gap between what high school seniors can read, what level they can read at, and what level college freshmen can read at. There's an attempt with the new core to kind of push the text difficulty that we use in classes, and so there's a supplemental section with a lot of suggested text. We've looked at some of those texts already. The thing is, we in our department actually use several of them already as far as the stories and the poems are concerned. So we'll continue to look at that and look at the suggested text and try and continue to incorporate new texts into what we're doing to increase the difficulty level of some of the text. Now, obviously, there are still some kids that just because you place a difficult text in front of them, that's not going to make them read better. So we still have to be aware that, you know, there are different levels and kind of have to teach accordingly and adjust. Some of the student choice reading accordingly. We'll be addressing this. Next slide. Some of the changes. Mentioned the increase in text complexity, increase in teaching nonfiction texts. Again, we're not too worried about this. We feel like we already teach a fair amount of nonfiction texts, and again, we'll kind of look at the suggested list and try and incorporate a few more. The word that they use for that on the core is informational text. Not that the core before didn't have informational text on the core. There's just an increased emphasis, and so we'll try and adjust to that. Teaching elements of argument. Now, this is not I don't see this as a big deal. Argument is another term for persuasive writing. We've been teaching persuasive writing for a long time, in ninth grade for many years, and then in eighth grade when they changed that for the DWA. So this is just one of those terminology changes that we may have to deal with some new terminology, but I don't think it's anything to get too worried about. The next one is something that I like, teaching three major writing genres each year. The old core had a focus on a particular genre each year, and now each year has something to address: narrative, expository, and persuasive writing. So I like that. Final thing there, increase in rigor. I think that kind of remains to be seen, but hopefully that's the case. A little bit more rigorous. So really, not a lot. The old core was written around three standards: reading, writing, and the term for research that the old core used was inquiry. And now the standards are written a little bit differently. There are 10 standards for literary text, 10 standards for informational text, 10 standards for speaking and listening, which before was incorporated under the inquiry process, but now is kind of its own section focus. And then language, which deals with punctuation,
conventions of English and things like that that were before under the writing section, but now they have in their own section. So again, it's kind of some working around of where the skills are grouped, but not a big deal as far as we're concerned. So I don't know. That's kind of what our thoughts are on the subject of the department. I don't know if you have any questions on those things. Or
so going back to your first slide,
yeah,
that you had.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what we're looking at there in the ninth grade year is basically in ninth grade it would be equivalent to our current 10th grade.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what the attempt is. Now, I'm curious to see how this works out because, as I mentioned, we've looked at some of the selected poems or some of the suggested poems and short stories and novels, and we actually already kind of used those. Several of them we already used. And so I don't know if it'll make a huge difference for us or not. But obviously we do want to kind of push kids.
One thing that they did do is they changed the lexile rankings. It used to be that like 7th graders should be reading at an 800 lexile, and they bumped it up and said 8th graders should be reading at 1,000 lexile. So they just kind of bumped everything up and said there's a gap, so let's shift the complexity and put it all the way throughout their reading. But most narrative, most fiction is already written at a lower than, it's already written at an 800 lexile. And so the only way to get more rigor, more complexity in the text is to go to nonfiction reading.
These are
what you do a lot of in college.
Yeah.
This slide is a national statistic, right? Not our school.
Right.
So our rigor might be up to this standard already. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Please, care if I chime in here? Sorry, no. I'm Mark Clement, the school board member for Pleasant Grove, so I appreciate being. I hope you don't mind jumping in here.
Happy to have you.
But we just actually looked at some data last week. What they did was they just looked at UBU, and it turns out Alpine District is the majority of students at UBU actually come from Alpine District, so they can look at how prepared they are. And we're a lot better than other districts in terms of having our students be ready for freshman classes. But still, about 65% of our students are ready for freshman math. So that's still a good chunk. About 35% are not. They have to take remedial math classes. Similarly, for English, we're still having around 30 or 40% that have to take remedial English classes. And so I think from the school board's intent is that we'd like to bridge that gap so we have more of our students and hopefully close to all of them that are ready for a program like UBU. But we're a lot better than they actually did the study on all the other school districts, and some of them were down in the 40% or so that were ready for freshman classes.
Well, one of the things I want to interject, you guys always keep a copy of our stakeholder report. You know, when you're looking at implementing these new cores, with some of the conversations we've had, and I know the collaborative efforts our English department has, we'll get to math in a minute, but we have an amazing department here. I mean, our teachers are dedicated, they're looking at it, they're being proactive on it, and we've already seen high proficiency levels here at Oak Canyon with our language arts students. I know our kids are in good hands with our language arts teachers. They're amazing folks, and they're on top of this. And so looking at you know, kids that might come into our school that struggle, we're going to use our lexile scores, we're going to use our CRT, and as a student enters Oak Canyon that is struggling in reading and needs additional support, that support is there for them. Part of the trust land money that we funded for them was to provide a Read 180 class for students to help them be able to be on these reading levels, be on these language arts levels. And on the opposite end, we also have for 7th and 8th grade and honors classes in 9th grade to address all those needs. So I'm pleasantly optimistic with the things coming up. The people we have in line to teach your kids, they're really in good hands.
I'd also add that I feel like our special ed component of English is stronger than it's been in a couple of years. So I'm excited about that. You know, a lot of times when you look at scores of kids that aren't passing or what might keep us from AYP or sometimes special ed, yeah. Sometimes special ed scores, but I feel like our special ed, what we have in place for special ed is a lot stronger than it's been in the past. And let's just say Vanessa is doing an awesome job. I feel like we have things like Read 180 and special ed in place for those that are struggling. I think we'll be in good shape.
In fact, our, just to throw data there, we had a 14% increase in our special education scores last year. So when you're looking at the numbers of students we have, 14% is a significant number to say these kids are now proficient in language arts that previously were not. And so that just ties into the collaborative efforts with special ed and language arts.
One more quick thing about our lifestyle point. We've been working as a library on making sure that our texts have the lexiles in the catalog so that students will be able to see what their reading level is and what kinds of texts they can read in order to increase the complexity of the text that they're reading.
So we'll see. We'll see. We're not worried, but I think we'll be good thing.
I don't think we have anything to worry about. Any other questions?
Texts have never really been an issue. I know that that's when other areas, when they change the core texts, they're sometimes an issue. But we have so many stories and poems available online. We have plenty of those. Administration has always been saying, hey, we need to do classroom sets of books. Those are a lot cheaper than textbooks. They've been one of the words for us. So if we need those, we'll get those.
Good deal. Any other questions? Okay. Have fun at track.
We'll do it. Thanks.
Paul's heading the track, so thanks for being here.
Excuse me. So, shall we jump to math then?
Can I say something first?
Yeah.
I get to be, it's so fun for me. I'm just telling you what, I think I've got the best job. I really do. Because I get to be somewhat of a cheerleader for some of the great things happening. And I try to share that with our language arts department because it's happening. I mean, I could go at each department and say the great things are happening. As we talk about this math core, Angela's been on every committee, and I think she made a few up. She's done a great job with getting us information about the committees that are there, being on the committees, getting information for us so we can be fully prepared for this new changeover. Our math department, as you know, is amazing. Just looking at our overall scores and what our math team does, again, your kids are in great hands, and I know the approach they're taking is outstanding to be prepared. So that's all I'm going to say for right now. I'm sure I'll interject things later on, but sum it up to say our math team's amazing, and I think you'll see some of that when Angela starts sharing some stuff.
And like Scott said, I have been on every committee that there has been for implementing this core as far as math has gone. I've been on all of them. I've been there since the beginning. I've been on a committee actually for about a year and a half now as we start this out with John Hanks, who is our math specialist. Him and I have actually talked today twice. So on the Utah core standards, first thing I wanted to do was kind of start off with a little bit of history here and kind of get rid of some rumors that are out there about what this new core is all about. So Scott, do you want to go to the next slide? How were the standards developed? First of all, I do want to say this is not a federal program. This was not developed by the federal government. This is not mandated. This in no way is something that we are being forced to do from the federal government. Okay, this is the National Governors Association and Council Chief State School Officers led the effort to develop a shared set of educational state standards. The governors realized that, we're more fluid now than we used to be. Kids are moving from state to state more than they were even 20 years ago. You've got kids moving in and out all the time. And it's really hard to get a kid from California. It happens every time you get a kid from California. This is the class they're taking. In fact, we just had this happen last week. A girl transferred in from California. It said honors math. Did Terry come talk to you about this? And we put her in this one class. Didn't match up. She goes to me and goes, what does this mean? I said, Terry, I think they just mean it's this class. But it totally said something else. And she was not ready for this one class, and it's so nice now that we're all going to have the same names. We all know what we're talking about now when we have these common classes around the states now. When we have these transfers, it's not going to be as big of a deal. It's going to be nice also to know that, you know, what a kid's learning in 7th grade here in Utah is going to be the same as some kid in Wisconsin or in Florida. That doesn't matter where they are. They're all going to be responsible for the same things to be taught at that same time. Also, another thing that's been happening is because of this, I was just in contact with a district math specialist, I think from Kansas, this week. I've been communicating back and forth with about textbooks and what we've been piloting, and they want to know how it was working for us. That would have never happened before without this new core before, because we all have different standards, all different things, and they want to know how is this working for us, and what about these books, and you know, and I was like, wow, I'm talking to people somewhere else totally about the same thing. We don't have this common language, this common set of goals. So I just wanted to put that out that this was not a federal mandated thing. This was actually put together. All the governors got together and said this would be the best for our states if we got together. So it's kind of a grassroots effort. Also, they invited leading experts in all these different fields that were definitely an integral part of this development. How were the standards developed? They went through, actually I remember this being developed 2 years ago. They came up with these standards and they sent out emails. They put it online. They got feedback from professionals all over the country saying, this is what we have. They tweaked it. They went through it. It was just, and I know that nearly 10,000 public responses were submitted, and they read every one of them. They actually went through and made sure this was the best that they could get. Another thing too, though, is that the one thing we do know about these standards is we'll never say that they're actually fully done. This is a work in progress. This is our first draft. And I know that in the next few years, now that we're all on the same page, you know, as feedback comes in, oh, maybe we should tweak this a little bit. I think that there will always be a little tweaking in the areas, a little, you know, not a major change, but I think there will always be something that just, like, tiny that will change here and there. Hey, how was Utah involved in the process? Through an open and transparent process. So we saw the final core. Teachers from the districts, including Alpine, universities, college members, all different things got together, and we're all part of the feedback on whether we should adopt this or not. And in 2010, I believe it is, summer 2010, the Utah State Board of Education voted to adopt this unanimously. There was no one that went against this. So, go ahead. So if you want to know what the new standards are, there are three links there. And pretty much if you just Google corestandards.org, just pretty much right there, this is corestandards.org, that's the easiest one to find. And I was just there today. It's pretty straightforward and they're all there. Any questions about how the standards were, how we got to this point? Okay, so how are we going to benefit? Well, first of all, Paul talks a little bit about this, about the increased rigor for students. The goal is to have everyone college and career ready. And it goes back to that report that Mr. Clemens was talking about. You know, we're only 60% of our kids are ready for college when they get there. And we want that to be 100%. You know, yes, that's, you know, reality not going to happen. But we'd like to bridge that gap, you know, how definitely better than 60% though. So this new core actually is there to help kids to be able to get them more career and college ready. We realize that kids are either, not all kids are going to go to college, but they also need to be career ready. And so they've talked with businesses and said, what do you need your kids coming out of high school to be ready to do? And they said, the thing is, we need them to be able to think. We need them to be able to problem solve. There are certain skills that we need to have these kids ready to do. And so those are part of these new core standards. So the benefits here are that it provides us with clear, more focused standards that are consistent among schools throughout the state. There are research and evidence-based standards. They're relevant to real world. They reflect the critical thinking and problem-solving skills of young people that need to be prepared for both college and work. These aren't a bunch of standards that are just kind of thrown together. These are professionals that have been, you know, in the trenches for years and have come up with this. These are things that they know work. These are how we need to be teaching things. And why is this important? So 66% of all jobs in Utah will require post-secondary education. And jobs that use lower thinking skills, remembering and understanding, will be quickly outsourced or turned into software. Jobs today require much higher literacy levels than ever before. And that's true. I mean, you start thinking about the things that, what did we do 50 years ago? People that were, you know, even bottling or just kind of manufacturing, that's all done by robots now. Anything that requires just remembering or, you know, just quickly, a computer can do that now, or a robot can do that. We don't need that anymore. We need humans that can actually problem solve and know where to turn things, how to fix things. And we can skip to the next page here. We already went through these. Okay, so what are the challenges in math? So before math, we always joked that math was always a mile wide and an inch deep. We taught every year, and we never could figure out why the kids didn't retain every year from year to year. We taught them that the year before. How come? Well, that's because we would teach maybe three lessons on adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing fractions. That's all they got. But then they got the next year. Of course, they didn't remember from the year before because there wasn't a chance to really get into that. Well, this new course changes that. It's what it's going to narrow the focus every year and goes deeper into those thinking. So the kids really have a chance to develop those skills and understand what they're doing a lot better than before. We're not covering 1,000 topics in 1 year. And the great thing is because now of the way they set it up, it is completely outlined now. It's all just vertical from K through 11th grade now. So every year builds on each other. And the language is the same. And it's really great because every year you can see how it's a progression from year to year. So there's going to be a lot more consistency from year to year, what's going on with fewer, but also getting deeper into those different concepts. So what the process was for math materials, we had a district committee that was teachers, parents, principals, department members, the curriculum department stuff, and we reviewed math textbooks and classroom resources. Before this committee even happened, we actually got together as just teachers, and we went through everything possible out there that possibly said that was approved for the Common Core, and went through and quickly weeded out those that were not going to be appropriate based on a rubric that we had, and then the ones that did meet the core to a certain percentage of things, we actually then submitted to the district for this the math materials. So then we're going to have a school-based committee that will select appropriate text resources for their committee for the community. We actually submitted all the resources that we had. We actually didn't weed any of them out on our first committee. We submitted them all to the district committee, which I was also on that as well. So and then the district committee, the one that had the parents and teachers and principals and curriculum department members, they were actually the ones that then weeded it down to like, okay, oh, just two or three books here, two or three of these books were the ones we're going to let the schools choose from. And then we'll have a school-based committee that will then go through the ones that are recommended by the district to decide which one we're going to be using here at Oak Canyon. Okay, the math pass. Okay, I'm talking really fast. I'm going through a lot of information. Stop me. Like, what questions so far? You've got to have questions so far. Everybody's good?
Just one thing to interject.
Yeah.
With the selection of materials, be thinking as we're going through this presentation, I'd like to collect names if anybody's interested in serving on that committee from School Community Council. I'd like to see the text, to see the district recommendation or teacher recommendations, and then view them yourself to kind of see what's out there for our school. So thinking if you want to volunteer to help out. I'd love to have School Community Council part of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's our flow chart. It's on the back of your Utah Core Standards for Math. Did you pass that one out with you?
Yeah, she has that.
Okay, it's right there. I want to kind of go through, this is what it's going to look like once we're fully implemented. And you know what, Scott, let's go ahead and go to the next slide, because that's going to show what's going to happen next year. And but then this previous slide is going to be like once we're fully implemented. And I just kind of want to talk for a second. I'm going to use Lisa's pen here for Vince, kind of point. I need a pointer.
You want a laser pointer, Angela?
Do you have one with you?
I've got a whole bag of them.
Absolutely, yeah. If you guys can tell, I'm used to like just talking all day and being up, so there's no way I could just sit and do this. So, any questions really quickly about how we got to this point, where it's come from?
So your rubric that you used,
mm-hmm.
do we have access to that?
Absolutely. Everything is totally transparent. That's the one thing we wanted to make sure, was that anyone who wanted to know what our findings were, what was going on, it's all documented. We have all the copies. We've kept them in binders. We have copies of the rubric. We have the comments the original teachers have made. Everything has been saved, and everything is available for anyone to look at. We didn't want anyone to say, well, you didn't tell us about that or something. If anyone's interested, let me know, and I can tell you to get in contact with. I do have with me the copy of our findings at the very, very end, and there was a scale that we had, a 1 through 5 scale, and you can see how all the textbooks kind of fared on there, so if anyone is interested in looking at this, that might be something that also, but the ones for each textbook, we can put it all on one page, because there's so much to talk about. It took us about 3 hours per book to review. And then we did it 3 times for each book. So we would sit down as a partnership, 2 of us, and we'd go through a book and review it. It takes about 2.5, 3 hours and fill it out. And then that book would go to another team, and they would do the process again. And it was 2 days of a long day. Okay. So if you were in sixth grade this year, what this says right here is any of you guys who have 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th graders, what is going to happen next year? They're currently in 6th grade. Next year, they're going to go into Intermediate Math 1. That is what we are calling the 7th grade math class. I do have to point out something here. If you do go to the standards, you will not see anything called Intermediate Math 1 or Intermediate Math 2 there. You will see Math 7, Math 8. In Alpine School District, we were concerned about taking kids and putting them in a class called Math 7 because in the past that has been a resource class, you know, kind of a, for the kids that are the lowest kids there, and now we're saying, oh yeah, we're throwing everyone now into 7th grade math, and we were just kind of like, you know, parents maybe wouldn't quite like that as much, and so we changed the name. So, but it's called Intermediate Math 1, but what we wanted to do is let the parents know it is a totally different class. It's not the same Math 7 class that it was before. It's completely changed. And all 6th graders, all 7th graders will go into this math class right here. Now, with that being said, we do have an accelerated path. The way the core is set up is you cannot skip classes anymore. Before, if you had a really advanced 6th grader, you could put them in algebra as a 7th grader. That's not the way it can happen anymore. Because the core builds on each other so much, there's no way to skip a level anymore. We can't do that. So for those who normally would be a 7th grader in algebra, we still have the testing, and they will go into what is called Intermediate Math 1-2 Accelerated. What that means is that they will do Intermediate Math 1 and half of Intermediate Math 2 in a year. And they will still take Intermediate 1, Intermediate 2, but they will have to go faster. That's why it's accelerated. So these kids right here in this accelerated track have to do 3 years of math in 2. So it's a much faster track. So every 7th grader, though, will be in Intermediate Math 1. Then if they are a 7th grader this year, we didn't offer Math 7 this year because we thought it was the best that, because since it didn't matter if they were Math 7 or pre-algebra, they'd be going into this Intermediate Math 2 anyway. We wanted to make sure that those lower kids had a chance to at least see the same material that the other 7th graders saw. So both, anyone in 7th grade this year, if they are in Math 7 or pre-algebra, will go into Intermediate 2. The only exception for that will be those 7th graders that are in algebra who are doing well. They will go to Secondary Math 1 Honors. If we have 7th graders in algebra that are struggling this year, they will go into Intermediate Math 2.
So who will make sure those placements happen correctly? Like
teachers.
Okay, so as parents, we don't have to, on the registration, say, my child needs to be here. The teachers will say, okay,
yes,
we got an A in algebra, so they will automatically go to this.
Right, we are actually already in the process. We already have the recommendations all done. They have not gone to Mr. Bearden yet, but I was the last one who actually did it last one on the spreadsheet. So they are all done and ready to go to Mr. Bearden.
We've already done this for years, where the math department has taken a look at every single student and given us a spreadsheet of this student goes here. Mm-hmm. And so it'll just be a different name on that list.
Yes, we're not changing anything. I mean, we look at every kid individually just by where they should go the next year. And,
Mark,
yes?
Because I have an incoming seventh grader from a charter school.
Mm-hmm.
Does he test before? How do you know where he should go? I'm just curious. Or sixth grader?
There's a test that starts next week. Is it next week or the week after? 27th. And it was in their sixth grade registration form. Okay. It says that if you want to be, if you want to test to go into this, we have a testing window. We're testing on the 27th of March and the 4th of April. So they have to be, they have to test now to know where they're going to go. Okay, so then our eighth graders that are in pre-algebra, at this point there's no split. Everyone is either in intermediate one, intermediate two. Eighth grade, if they are in pre-algebra this year, they'll go into secondary math one. If they are in algebra this year, they'll go into the secondary math one or secondary math one honors, and I'll explain the difference here in just a minute. Geometry students are only kids here at Oak Canyon that next year will still be in the traditional route is our eighth graders in geometry. They will still have algebra 2 next year. They will completely miss that. That is our only group that's not going to be incorporating this. Because of the way that the new core is written, there's no way we can throw them into secondary 2 honors. There's just way too many gaps, and we can't do that to them. So they have to stay on the traditional route. Ninth graders. All of our ninth graders also will miss this, except our Algebra A kids. Because Algebra A, you have to take both Algebra and Algebra A to have it count for the math credit. They will have to go into secondary math 1. Algebra will not be offered next year at the high school, so they have to go into this class right here. But if they are a ninth grader in algebra, they will just go ahead and go to geometry. If they're a ninth grader in geometry, algebra 2. If they're in algebra 2 this year, they'll go into pre-calc. So all of our ninth graders completely miss this except for the ones in algebra A.
It's being grandfathered in, so the high schools have one more year of the old names and the old
right.
programs.
So next year, the only class the high schools are implementing is the secondary math 1, which is ninth grade. Okay, so let's go back to the previous slide. Okay, so we have our three routes here. We have our regular traditional route. We have our honors route and our accelerated path. And these are our top kids. We only expect about 5% of our kids to be in this route right here. This is the one where they do intermediate 1, intermediate 2, and secondary 1 honors in 2 years. It's much more accelerated. Right here you see 6th grade. They go in intermediate math 1, intermediate math 2. Ninth grade is where we split between the regular track and the honors track. This is a regular track that they'll take the 3 years of math, and by 12th grade, they can either take pre-calc or AP stats. They'll be ready for that. This track right here, the honors track, the difference between the secondary 1 and secondary 1 honors, everything is the exact same with curriculum except this has more. This one has taken all the pre-calculus and has included it in this curriculum right here. It's spread it out through these 3 years. So when a student is done with this path right here, they will be ready for AP Calculus as a senior, which is the same thing that we would have now had they been an eighth grader in algebra. It keeps them right on the exact same path. So it's been set up so everyone's saying it's different, it's a little bit different, but if you had an eighth grader in algebra, they would have taken geometry as a ninth grader, algebra 2 as a 10th grader, pre-calc as an 11th grader, and calculus as a 12th grader. It's the exact same plan. It gets them in the exact same place at the end. Yes?
So if I have a student right now in Algebra 2, so he's ahead, would I go down the honors one then? Is that what I would do
with him? What grade?
He's ninth grade.
Then he is not in this at all.
Oh, he's not in it at all. So
he just takes the regular track.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought,
yeah.
Sorry.
He's completely...
He goes on to pre-cal next year.
He's going to do pre-cal next year.
Okay, well that's what I thought, but then when we got to this, I didn't know if you were saying that was the green.
On the previous slide? Or the one before this?
Yeah, yeah.
There was okay. Where it said, right here. If they are ninth grader in Algebra 2, they will take pre-calc.
So this list right here is
after its full-blown implementation,
okay.
Right.
Okay.
And Jill just mentioned, too, our district we're trying to not use the term honors in the 7th and 8th grade, so they're actually going to call that accelerated on intermediate math 1 and 2.
Okay. Yes.
And they will take one semester of 1 accelerated and then one semester of 2 accelerated. That should be scheduled that way so that they transcript with both class, both 1 and 2 in 1 year.
In our 6th grade math, are they changing some of that around to get them better prepared?
Yes, but not till this fall. So our 7th graders this year will have had the old 6th grade core coming in the new 7th grade core. So we know that though. We have what we call bridge documents that outline what the gaps are between the old core and the new core, so we know what we need to supplement for next year to make sure that those gaps are filled. Okay, any other questions about this?
So what Mike was saying is high school canyon, we won't call this math honors. That's secondary math honors and then secondary math.
We will here. Yes, these will be called
secondaries
honors.
Secondaries will, yes.
In ninth grade. And
but
on.
These, but that's in eighth grade. We do not have an honors track, so these H's right there shouldn't be there. It should be an
accelerated.
A.
Accelerated.
It should be accelerated.
And just to draw a comparison, this helped me understand it, is that far right column, that accelerated path, if you're in the seventh grade in that red column, it'd be similar to your student being in algebra as a seventh grader. And then the track would be algebra, geometry, then algebra too. Just to give you perspective, those are the kids that would be in that type of track.
But the ones that are being grandfathered in, they're still going to be called the same things at the high school for until you get to that point where it's fully implemented.
Right.
And your student, calculus and statistics, their names are never going to change.
Right.
They'll still be pre-cal, calculus.
They're still pre-cal, they're still calculus, they'll still be stats. There'll still be, financial lit. There'll still be those other classes over there. The only ones that are changing are algebra, geometry, algebra 2. Okay. Those are the only three that are changing in that level. Okay, there you go. So how will teachers prepare? Oh my goodness, we've been preparing now for a year and a half since we got the announcement. So we have had core academies. We actually had core academies last summer. We are one of the last districts to actually implement. The committee I was on a year and a half ago, we made that decision to wait a year. Well, we actually suggested that to the school board. I think the school board said, yeah, sounds great. So we were thankful for that. We just went and said, there's no way we can do this year. And this is this year right now. And the other districts that have, it's been a disaster. It's been, there's just, they're dying. That's the bottom line is everyone you talk to, they're just like, we're just dying over here the first year. They weren't prepared for it. They didn't have the training for it. They didn't have the materials for it. And the district's just like, sorry, you're doing it anyway. Start. Go. And as Alpine School District, we said, no. Let's just wait a year and see what happens here. And so I'm really thankful for that the district said, you know what, let's wait a year and make sure everybody's ready to go on this. So several of us, all the department heads in math, we all did a core training last summer with the state to kind of get ready for this, and then we've been slowly implementing those into our department. This summer, we have got Core Academy, June 4th through 6th, also August 1 through 3rd. There is just, pretty much every week this summer, there is some kind of training being offered for teachers, either through the district or through the state. And they can attend 1, 2, 3, 4, however many they want to attend. They're welcome to attend as many as they want. And teachers are signing up for them like crazy. So there's a 3-day collaborative workshops, lighting season, just all kinds of things. They're all teacher-led teams. I'm going to be on one of the state ones for the 7th grade math curriculum. And we're all just getting together, and we're just trying to train everyone on what's new and what to change. The great thing is, though, is the content has switched a little bit. Like, the content has kind of moved around, but the philosophies haven't. It's still math. You still teach math. That hasn't changed. What's kind of like got us going is just how, oh my gosh, I've never taught exponentials with ninth graders before, so how do I teach that here, and I've never done it in this context before. So it's not, for us, it's not a huge change as far as like the rigor and things. It's more for us just how do we mix the content up and finding resources and things like that. So, when will the standards be implemented? And I realize I've got pie all over me because it's pie day today. So I've got what's coming everywhere. When will they be implemented? So this coming fall, we are starting with English is 7 through 12. Intermediate math 1, 2, and secondary 1. So 7th, 8th, 9th grade, junior high next year, we're all the way. Everything's being completely changed next year in the junior high except for that one class of 9th graders in Algebra 2 next year. So we only have one class of that. Mrs. Bench will still be teaching that since she's been doing it 4 years now. And that is the only traditional class we'll have left here. In traditional, I mean the old core. So 7th, 8th, and 9th. Then I believe 6th grade. I think 6th grade starts next year too. Yeah, 6th grade as well. So the 6th grade is also up here as well. So then 2013, 2014, they're going to be doing 7 through 12. I haven't heard anything about this history and social studies and science yet. I don't know anything about that yet, but then the high schools will start adding in secondary math too, and then they'll be doing secondary math 3. So they have a little bit easier time up there where they just kind of get to gradually add one class at a time, whereas the junior highs, we're just doing it all next year. So, okay, how will my child be assessed? Students in K through 2 will participate in the district assessments that we still have, and grades 3 through 12 will continue to participate in the state assessments. The test will change a little bit, but not a ton. I don't know what to say about that.
Well, part of the conversations that are happening with the test, we have traditional CRTs that we've been taking for years to draw comparisons on for students. But in the next few years, it's not going to be this year. I don't think it's going to be next the following year. But in the next couple of years, instead of having a straight CRT test, which is fill in the bubble, move on, fill in the bubble, move on computer, it's going to be more of a progressive test. So it's a better measurement of how students truly, what they truly know. That progressive test, meaning a student will take a test, if they get the right, if they get the answer right, it gets harder. If they get it right again, it gets harder. You know, and it starts understanding where they truly know. If they miss it, it gets easier. If they miss it, it gets easier. So they'll get a true scale of where the students are, but that's still in development, some of the testing stages. They're going to start testing questions for it right now.
2014, 2015 is the pilot year that we do that.
So,
and
that's some changes.
So, I mean, I know it's going to happen in 2014, 2015. I don't know quite what the tests are going to look like the next two years. They're still going to be using the same test they did before. They're going to try and pull out some questions that are no longer on the new core, but yet they're still old core questions. So, pretty much what I'm saying is I'm not really going to pay attention to the CRT the next 2 years because I don't know how valid that data is because it's written for the old core, but we're teaching the new core. And actually, some states have already been able to contact the federal government and get exempt from No Child Left Behind for the next few years. I think there was 10 that they allowed to do it. And then the rest of us, I think, were just out of luck. So, which isn't very fair. So if you're, like, in the next few years, if you're looking at math and you're like, wow, what happened between there and there? Core changes, okay. So I do know, though, that with these assessments here, that we're part of a group called the Smarter Balance Assessment Consortium, and that some of the concerns has been that since it's a test that is for all the states to be using, that we won't have control of the test. That's not true. I just got the phone with Dave Smith about an hour and a half ago. He's our testing person for the district. And he said that what it is we are part of this consortium, but then the states have the ability to take what they want from that. And we will be creating our own test still. They will still be similar enough that we can compare with other states' results, but it will still be Utah's test. So if we see a question that we don't like, because we're like, you know, that doesn't really reflect Utah's values, it's out of there. So we still have control of those testing questions. Which has been a concern. I think I've been hearing it from legislators that they were concerned that that wasn't something that we had control of, and we do. I was talking with him about that. Okay, what will our unifying vision accomplish? Student success and the result of the collaborative efforts of educators. You guys can read that. Make our students better, pretty much. So, questions?
So are they going to penalize us then if we're not to the standards?
What they are going to be doing is that the only test, I've heard it both ways. I think last time I heard, actually the only CRT we're going to be giving next year is the algebra CRT. They're actually getting rid of the only one that's going to count is the algebra one. And they will not be given the algebra CRT until after secondary one, which will have covered all those topics by then. So that's the only one that's actually going to start counting for AYP because of that. So the pre-algebra test won't count anymore, the math 7 test won't count, as far as like the junior highs. So it'll really be the high schools who have to make sure those kids pass the algebra test. But they will not be taking that until 9th grade. So I don't know if 7th and 8th graders will still be taking a test, and it just is kind of an FYI thing, or if they're just going to just not give them at all. I can't remember what they decided. I've heard both ways. They've kind of gone about both directions, like, yes, we're going to give them a test, no, we're not going to give them a test. And I didn't ask Dave that, but Dave probably knows what the current decision is right now. So but there will not be an algebra 2 test. Well, they may give them a test, but it just won't count.
That makes it a little different for a while.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit different as far as testing for the next few years. 2014, 2015 is the year that they do the pilot. They pilot the new test. And so we'll kind of get our, you know, see how that goes. And then 2015, 2016 is the real one. So we'd be ready, I think. Any other questions?
I don't know what you covered while I was gone, but I was going to make the comment along with something Angela said about math still being math. There's no foreseeable change in the ACT testing in the future. I mean, they're still going to learn the concepts. They're still going to perform on the ACT the same as they have in the past. I also had the question come up in some 7th grade SEOPs earlier this year when we were introducing this. They said, well, what are colleges going to think when they see that on there? And I said, well, you know, they're seeing it from 40 states.
45
states. So it's okay.
They know what it is. Yeah, and they were part of this decision as well. They had colleges, university professors on here as well, helping to come up with it. I mean, everybody knows about this. There's not anyone in the education department who's not aware of. You know, if I was to talk to a math teacher today and say, what do you think of the new core? And if they were like, what new core? I'd be like, oh my heavens, have you been under a rock? I mean, that just doesn't happen. Everybody knows what's going on with this. From the, doesn't matter if you're a kindergarten teacher to a university professor, it's, everybody knows what's going on in the education department with this. It's very much out there. And the other thing I was going to say is there are 45 states who have adopted this core. There are still 5 who have not. If you're interested, I can tell you who they are. So this is something that has not been mandated. It is a voluntary thing. You have the choice to either do this or not. So there are 5 states who have just chosen not to join in. So, and that's fine. So it's their choice. If they think their curriculum, you know, if they want to still kind of do their own thing. But I'm really excited as far as Utah being a smaller state where all the textbooks are written towards California and Texas and all those things. We have all, that's where all the money is. And now we have that buying power to actually get a textbook that's written for our curriculum. Yes?
So do you think you're going to want to buy new textbooks, or are you going to try to use the ones you have?
Oh, I want new textbooks. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah. There's where we are trying to implement 3 different grades in 1 year, I would go insane if I had to try and come up with all that material myself. There's no way I could do it. So, I mean, about December, Scott would be looking for an entirely new math department. So, I think we'd all quit on him. So, we would just be done. Yeah, so that's one thing that I'm very adamant about is we have to have some materials.
And they will have them, right?
Yes, we are already 7th and 8th grade math, very nicely. There's lots there. Because of what Utah did with the Secondary 1, Secondary 2, Secondary 3 program, you guys have heard we're doing the international pathway, which is different than a lot of the other states are doing. There's not as many curriculum out there, but we are actually today at 3:30. They are meeting with Pearson to talk about a customary book. We're meeting with Glencoe on Friday at 3 to talk about a custom book for Utah according to our standards. And then there's a third company that we haven't also talked with yet. So there's 3 other companies possibly out there that can make custom books for us. Then we can sit down as a district and say, we literally want this piece here, this piece here, this piece here from the parent books, and literally make our own textbook. It'll even have like Alpine School District's name on the front and everything, you know. So, and there's also districts also in the state that have already done that. They've already met with both Pearson and Glencoe and have created custom books. So we'll also be looking at what they've done already to see if, you know, if theirs is already great, maybe we'll just buy the same one they have.
What states are also following the international model?
No one else as a state has said they're doing the international model except for Georgia. But all the other states have said that what they're doing is they are adopting the Common Core, and it's up to the districts to decide if they want to do the international or traditional pathway. So even though you don't have someone else saying officially that they're doing the international pathway, you will have districts throughout the whole nation that are doing it. It's just we don't know who they are yet.
Just not complete states.
Right, yeah, it's not complete states. Like where Utah has said, we are doing the international pathway. Other states have left it up to individual districts to decide which pathway they want to do. So, except for Georgia. I think Georgia's also the one. But even then, I think they like kind of said we'd like to go that direction, but I think they're still leaving it up to districts there. So. And that kind of puts us in a little bit of a bind just with that, but fortunately, like I said, we're meeting though with those companies are awesome to work with, and they're willing to put a custom book for us together with that. So I really don't foresee that as a huge deal. And as much as Alpine School District collaborates, we're going to be fine. So. Anything else?
Okay. No. And once again, I get to be the cheerleader for our math department, but we've got a great team, and you know they've traditionally been one of the top performing teams in the district year in and year out. You can look at the proficiency level of our kids. We've got a plan for students that come in with extra needs to double up their math classes. We've also got the accelerated track. So I'm again very confident. I mean I'm going into this a lot more relaxed because I know the people that are going to be implementing this are well on board and knowing what's going on, and they're prepared to make it work. They know your kids are coming next year, and they're going to be ready for them. So. Now there's like a 3-minute movie that kind of summarizes again what Andrew's talking about, and I'm going to pass this around just on the back side. If you're willing and wanting to be on the textbook selection committee, feel free to put your name on there. We'll contact you and tell you when and where and how long and you know that kind of stuff to see. But I'll pass it. We'll start this way.
I also have one of the textbooks with me that is on the list and piloting it right now. If anyone wants to look at it, see what it looks like.
Sign my name. I'll sign my name.
Yeah, if you're willing to be on the textbook selection committee, that's the paper going around there. The role, and then I'll put play on the video.
The lights. Thank
you. You went to have one of them?
Yeah.
I heard it was a big tour.
Oh, there we go.
In the summer of 2010, the Utah State Board of Education voted to adopt the Common Core State Standards as the new Utah Core. The State Board also voted to adopt the International Pathway for Secondary Math. This means courses from 9th to 11th grade will no longer be separated by content. Instead, students taking Algebra 1, Geometry, Algebra 2, and so on will be taking Secondary Math 1, 2, and 3. The same content will be taught. However, it will be organized by grade level rather than by topic. This flowchart outlines the progression of mathematics courses a student will take from the 6th grade through graduation. Course paths include an accelerated path, an honors path, and the regular path. Only about 5% of students will test into the accelerated path. A placement test will decide whether or not a student is fit for the accelerated track. These students will begin intermediate math in the 7th grade and continue through secondary math 1, 2, and 3 honors, AP calculus, and AP statistics before graduation. All other students will begin the 7th grade in intermediate math and continue into intermediate math 2 in the 8th grade. In the 9th grade, students will have the choice between the regular and the honors path. The honors path is rigorous and is not fit for every student. Students on the honors track will go into the 9th grade in secondary math 1 honors and continue through the secondary honors courses with the choice of taking AP Calculus or AP Statistics in their senior year. All other students will be placed on the regular path and begin Secondary Math 1 in the 9th grade and continue through Secondary Math 2 and 3 with the option of Pre-Calculus or AP Statistics in their senior year. Program implementation will begin in 2012. By following the Alpine Course Progressions handout, you can follow how you and your student will be affected. Fields in yellow show middle school and fields in green show high school. The color red denotes a change from the old program into the new program. For example, A student in the 7th grade, currently in Algebra 1, will begin the 8th grade with the new Utah Core in Honors Secondary Math 1. Students currently enrolled in 10th, 11th, and 12th grades will not be affected. They will continue the current requirements through graduation. The only 9th graders to be affected are those currently in Algebra A. They will begin the new Utah Core Secondary Math 1 in the 10th grade, while all other 9th graders will continue with the current math requirements. This handout was created to quickly show you, by current grade and current math course, what courses the student will continue in through graduation. Blue markings show where students may fall behind because of the content. Bridge documents are available to students and teachers to help overcome this obstacle. For more information, refer to the following websites. Thank you for your support. We are so excited about the new Utah Core standards for our students. We look forward to the future of our students.
So this is one thing I wanted to talk about. The international pathway may seem... But we are the only country that actually separates algebra, geometry, and algebra 2. Every other country actually teaches where they're all combined as topics. Anyone I've ever talked to, they're like, well, that makes sense. How I learned it. We didn't know what algebra, geometry, algebra 2 was. They don't separate them. So the way, because it's called, that's why it's called the international pathway, is because that's how they do it in other countries. And for some reason, Utah decided to split them up. So, and actually, we were in a meeting, and they asked, like, why is it taught in that order, algebra and geometry? Because algebra began with A, came first. So, yeah, that's kind of one of those. So it's just something that started a long time ago. There's really no reason for it.
So if you don't do the international, are they split up still?
They are, yeah. They still have the traditional pathway of algebra 1, geometry, algebra 2.
From living out of the country, I'm glad you're doing this.
Yeah.
I've lived out of the country, and it's hard. It was hard for my kids to integrate into the math.
Okay.
Integrate into the math both ways, going and coming.
Right.
They struggled. Well, we came back to different math. But
yeah.
But
anyway.
Then there's also a parent input meeting tonight at 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. You're welcome to attend that as well. I'm going to let Angela present again. She did a pretty good job. She did a great job.
Good. If you have any more questions, I've got stuff here that I can tell you using.
I can tell you.
Oh, five states. Alaska, Texas, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Virginia.
All right.
So, I divide that if not.
Not any that I want to move to, so.
Yeah.
I'm good.
And it's kind of funny, we look at Nebraska, and we're like, really, Nebraska? Huh, okay. You know, so. Texas, I get that. You know, they're always doing their own thing. The other one is a little surprising to me. Yeah, it's the five that have not.
They want to be on the textbook committee.
Sure.
Any other questions?
Yeah, anything else?
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Given the time, do we want to do safe walking route?
Or
we can adjourn.
Next time, top of the agenda.
Do you have a handout?
I
knew
about
that.
I don't.
But
we can put something next time.
I think
my husband, he could do it.
It'll give us some time to put some things together because I'm still working with a construction company over a couple of the trail issues right now. So, all right. So that's what I propose that we move our safe walking route discussion till the next meeting.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any other items before we adjourn? Great. I move that we adjourn. Do I have a second? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
We're out of here.
Thank you, everybody. And like I said, 5 o'clock tonight, if you want to attend again, we can go over the same material.